Thank you. Matthew 11, starting at verse 2. When John, who was in prison, heard about the deeds of the Messiah, he sent his disciples to ask him, "Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else?" Jesus replied, "Go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. Blessed is anyone who does not stumble on account of me." As John's disciples were leaving, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear fine clothes are in kings' palaces. Then what did you go out and see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet, this is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you. You will prepare your way before me. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet whoever is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he.'"
Great. Thank you for that. So, good morning, everyone. Now, to get the brain working this morning, I'm going to begin with some puzzles. Okay, you up for that? Puzzles on a Sunday morning, and there's no prize either. But here we go. So there's three puzzles. We have the first one. Now, this is something called a stereogram, and buried within it is a picture. Can you tell me what that picture is? Now, I should give you a hint. There is a technique to this. Apparently, you have to sort of blow your eyes a little bit to see the picture. Can anyone see a picture? If you can, raise your hand. Anyone at all? No? Okay. I couldn't either, actually. But so it makes you feel a bit better. Actually, in this, I'm told there's a dinosaur. Believe it or not, there's actually a dinosaur. I can't for the life of me see it. But yes. Okay. All right. That one was a flop. Let's try something easier, shall we? So, number two, Simon. Right. Who recognises this dress? Yeah? Okay. Yeah, it's one... Well, you know the question before I've asked it. Yeah, this is one of the most famous dresses in the world, because this was a picture posted on, I think it was Tumblr, back in February. And there was a big debate about the colour of the dress, and scientists got involved. There was a survey. Now, there's three options, or maybe you see a fourth. Is the dress blue and black? Okay, who thinks blue and black? Okay, interesting. Right, who thinks white and gold? Okay, very interesting. And who sees something else? Okay, Elijah. But Elijah, you do see a dress, right? You do see a dress, good. So what colours do you see? Sorry? Light blue and gold. Okay, right. So, well... You know, the debate has raged for a while, and the colour is actually blue and black. And this was verified by actually somebody else seeing the dress. Apparently, it's to do with the way that we see colours and the way that the photo is taken. And some of us see white and gold, some of us see blue and black, some of us see different colours. But actually, the colour of the dress was verified to be blue and black. Okay? Right. Okay, the third one, there's a video. I seem to come over here. I'm hoping this thing doesn't have feedback. Okay, so I'm just going to do this. Can I just grab this? Bear with me for a second. And if you've seen this one, don't tell your neighbours about what happens, okay? Right. Here we go.
This is an awareness test. How many passes does the team in white make?
Go!
Okay. So, who wants to take a guess? How many passes did the team in white make? Okay. 13. Right. Who says a different number from 13?
14.
14? Okay, 14. 13 or 14. Anyone else have a different number? 15. Okay, 28. My goodness. Okay. There's almost one. Okay, the answer is... Well, let's watch the video and see what the answer is, shall we? Oh, here we go. We've got Robert saying, if you count the first person. Uh-huh. Right.
First person passes to himself.
Okay. Let's watch.
Did you see the moonwalking bear?
It was 13, by the way. Yes. So, who actually saw the moonwalking bear? Who actually saw it? No one. Okay. Well, okay, so, there we go. And that was actually an advert to promote cyclist awareness that was shown a few years ago. Now, I'm going to, in fact, Sam, could you hide that one for a second? Great. Good. Okay, now I chose these puzzles because they share a common theme. And they all have something to do with what we see, okay? Because we are all different, aren't we? And that means that we sometimes see different things. For example, some of us might see the dress as white and gold. Some of us obviously saw the dress as blue and black. For example, we might see something that others might find it hard to see at all. So, for example, the picture and the pattern. Okay, none of us could see that one. And in fact, I do struggle with those things as well. Or other times, we may miss something that is right in front of us because our energy and attention is focused on something else. And of course, the moonwalking bear is an example of this. I don't think any of us actually saw the moonwalking bear. You may not have seen it because you were counting the passes. You were watching the people throwing the ball. You weren't observing the whole picture. And this does actually make me wonder how many moonwalking bears that I actually pass in the street every day without noticing. But there we go. Now, Jesus is someone who we might find sometimes to be a little bit like the puzzles that we looked at. We may struggle to see Jesus sometimes. We may struggle to grasp perhaps fully who Jesus is. And we may find other times to find it hard to see where Jesus is at work in our lives, or perhaps in the world that we live in, especially in light of all the things that have been happening over the past few weeks. It is hard to see God in the midst of such things. It's hard to believe that God is there, but there God most certainly is. Now, these kinds of struggles to understand God, they're nothing new, of course. When Jesus walked this earth 2,000 years ago, the nation of Israel, his own people, they struggled to see who Jesus was. And even his disciples, you know, those who spent their days and their nights with him over 3 years, those who were witnesses to the miracles that he performed, heard firsthand the stories and the teachings that he shared, well, they quite regularly showed how they failed to see him too. So why might this have been? Well, let's remember, if we think back, that by the time Jesus was born to Mary and Joseph, the people of Israel had been waiting a long time for their Messiah to arrive. And it had been a promise that God had made to them, in fact, from the beginning of their existence as a people. And across the centuries, God had taken steps to prepare them so that they would be able to see the one who was to come. And that when the time came, people would recognize him. They would see the pattern in the picture, if you like. And God prepared them by sending prophets to Israel, prophets such as Isaiah and Daniel and Malachi and many others. And sometimes God's prophets were sent to encourage Israel in her troubles. And other times they were sent to speak words of warning and of judgment when Israel strayed from their God. But something is interesting here. Woven throughout these prophecies, even during Israel's darkest hours in exile, even in the midst of God's judgment upon them, the prophets' messages always contained one thing, and that was hope. Words of judgment were always followed with promises of restoration and a call to turn back to their God who would heal them. And within those words of hope, God did something else as well. He painted a picture, and it was a picture of a promise. And it was a promise that one day there would come another king to rule over Israel. One would be who would be a descendant of David. One who would be their true Messiah, their anointed one. And this king would be different from those who've come before him. This king would rule over a kingdom far greater than any before it. It would be a kingdom that would fill the whole earth. It would be a kingdom of justice and righteousness, and its king would rule forever. What a promise, eh? Yet the picture of the Messiah that many in Israel saw before them was actually just one corner of the larger whole. So when the time finally arrived, few people took much notice of the carpenter from Galilee going about his business. Few people took much notice of the man who's from the despised town of Nazareth. You know, Nazareth was thought of as a town where nothing good, anything good come out of Nazareth. Few people, in fact, cared much for the one who became a friend of the poor, who hung around with the sinful and the unclean, who ate with tax collectors, no less. This could not possibly be their future Messiah. Now, Jesus was so countercultural to their thinking, in fact, that in our reading today, as we heard, John the Baptist appears to perhaps have a moment of doubt, which is okay. Doubt is okay. Doubt is good. It means we're thinking about what we believe. So John the Baptist, once boldly proclaimed, "Here's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." And we hear from John in prison, and he's heard of what Jesus has been doing, and he sends his own followers to ask Jesus, "Are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else?" And how did Jesus respond to that question? Well, he simply reminded John and his followers of the other things that he surely would have heard, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cured, the dead are raised to life, and the good news of God's kingdom is being preached to the poor. "You're looking at the picture the wrong way," Jesus tells them. And so with that, I have another quick puzzle for you. So, Simon, can we have the picture, please? Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to ask you, what do you see? What do you see? Anyone? Hey, Elijah. Okay. And now what do you see? It's a chap with a beard. And you see what happened there. So we actually flipped the picture 180 degrees. Sam, could you go back to the previous one again, please? Right, there we go. So it's flipped. We turn the picture upside down and we see something new. We change our perspective of what we're looking at. And it allows us to see something different, something fresh. Yes, Jesus tells his followers, John the Baptist is indeed greater than any who have lived before him. Yet who was John in the eyes of the world? You know, he didn't live in a palace, but in the desert, in the wilderness. He didn't wear the finest clothes, but he wore clothes made of camel's hair. It's probably a reason why nobody got too close to him. he didn't dine on the finest foods, but he lived on locusts and wild honey. And yet people came to listen to what he said. That is a reason why he is great, Jesus says, because this kingdom that Jesus proclaims raises up the lowly. You know, it blesses the humble and it brings down the proud. And the riches of the kingdom of God, they're simply not of this world. And still, Jesus says, the least in his kingdom will be greater than John the Baptist. Now, to finish, there is, of course, a final piece to the puzzle, a final piece of the picture that Israel needed to learn to see. And it was a piece that's the largest. In fact, you've ever done those jigsaws where you're missing the piece in the middle, the picture doesn't make sense. Well, without this piece, the picture wouldn't be a picture at all, because it was one that was most unexpected. And here it is. So I'm going to ask you, what do you see? Do you see weakness? Do you see strength? Do you see judgment in this, or do you see forgiveness? Do you see death? Or do you see life? Do you see defeat? Or do you see victory? Because this was the means of how their Messiah, their king, our king, would bring his kingdom. And how their king would show himself to be our king. You know, not through power or might, you know, but through sacrificial love. You know, Jesus would humble himself to become a suffering servant, the living God. I mean, how unbelievable is that? And he'd lay down his life as a ransom, not only for Israel, but for the whole world, for you and for me. He would take all the bad stuff we've done, so that we may be forgiven and justified before God, dying so that we may live, rising again so that we will one day rise with him. The final piece of the picture, one that was always there, in fact, yet so unexpected, many just simply did not see it coming. So what do you see? Are we looking at the full picture? Is Jesus doing what we expect him to do in the world? Is he doing what we expect him to do in our lives? Do we look at this world that's so troubled and wonder, where is Jesus? Do we sometimes get so focused on one aspect of the picture of our lives that we forget to look for God's picture? Do we sometimes forget the hope of the cross? Or perhaps we struggle to see Jesus in the midst of the puzzle of our lives and the business and all of the things that are going on. I know I do sometimes. And if that is you, that is me. And that is also all of us at some points in our lives. And in our weakness and in our blindness sometimes, God calls us to trust that he is painting a far greater picture than we can imagine. One that we one day will finally see. He has done it before, and he will do it again. So I want to leave you with this thought. You know, Christmas is soon upon us, if you haven't noticed. And with that, the noise and the bustle and the business that goes with the season, and it will be very tempting, actually, to look at the picture that the world paints of Christmas. You know, the presents, and that the sparkle and the indulgence and the parties. But you know, God calls us this season to look afresh at his picture and to remember what Christmas is truly about. And so as we enjoy the alternative nativity this afternoon and the carol service next week and all the other events of Christmas, may I encourage you to take some time to step back and to view the whole canvas, and also for us to help others to see the picture of Jesus amongst Christmas. And let us remember it's okay to wonder where God is sometimes, you know, to feel blind. And when that happens, to know that God is close to you. Pray, read his word. The picture is in his word. We are children of the kingdom. And let us copy our King this Christmas as we move forward. Now let's bring him glory. Let's show the picture, this picture of hope to the world. Let's reflect it. And let us love mercy. Let us do justice. And let us walk humbly with our God. Amen.